avoid greed in all its forms. Your life isn't made more secure by what you own, even when you have more than you need. So we most often frame the issue of regulation of guns around control and freedom. It's really about greed. We think we deserve to have as much access as we desire to as many types of guns as we desire. We lift up prayers of lament when guns are abused, and the sacrifice is 3 lives, 9 lives, 20 lives. But we don't really care about the lives lost, the widows who are weeping, the families that are shattered. Because enough of us believe that nothing can be done, and guns are simply a way of life. Enough of us believe that greed is a way of life, and so we do nothing. And then we most often frame issues of white supremacy around history. But it's really about greed. When there is violence fueled by hatred of black and brown bodies, like there was in El Paso yesterday and Gilroy last week, we say that's terrible, but it must stem from a lack of education, a lack of understanding. We soothe ourselves by saying that sort of thing happens somewhere else, not in our communities. And so we don't talk about how white supremacy is not a thing of the past, but our everyday reality. We don't admit out loud that every one of us in every community has been taught to systematically disregard brown and black bodies, that each one of us needs to eradicate the seeds of hate that were planted long ago when we breathed in the polluted air around us. Greed finds us complicit in acts of white supremacy because we are greedy for comfort. We disregard the challenging conversations. We avoid the truths and stories and experiences that will uproot the white supremacy and racism within us, knowing that to do the work of being anti-racist means sacrificing our comfort for the safety of someone else. And when that happens, greed wins again. We hear stories of toxic masculinity, and we don't understand that that too is about greed. That toxic masculinity is a thread woven into every town, every workplace, and every family. That even those of us who are more feminine than masculine have been taught to protect masculinity at any cost. We believe at some deep level that masculinity will protect us in turn. And so when it becomes toxic, when power is abused or when violence occurs and men are once again the perpetrators, we make excuses. We label it an individual event. We shy away once again from difficult conversations and actions, greedy for ease and comfort. But I'd ask us in all seriousness, why is it that every mass shooter is a man? What are we teaching our sons that tell them it is okay to murder people because they disagree with them or they don't like them? What conversations aren't we having that need to be had, and why is it taking us so long to find the words? Why are we so quick to say, not every man, instead of calling for men to hold one another accountable? We have made an idol of greed. Each one of us, myself included, has sacrificed something for our own comfort and happiness. And some of the time, those sacrifices don't have significant consequences. But over time, they add up. Our individual greed bleeds into the greed of our neighbors and friends, and we collectively, silently decide to make sacrifices for that shared greed, for our shared comfort. We sacrifice the lives of children and adults, allowing them to be gunned down. Because regulating guns is challenging and divisive. We sacrifice the lives of black and brown folks because confronting racism and white supremacy is painful and unsettling for white folks. We sacrifice models of healthy masculinity that would mean less violence, less mass shootings, less bloodshed, because we don't want to offend our husbands and our fathers and our brothers. So the first sermon that I wrote earlier this week was about Yosemite, the national park in California that, like many other national parks, is suffering from overcrowding and environmental fatigue. For over a century, the priority in caring for Yosemite was so that humans could have maximum access and enjoyment in the park. Environmentalists have long proclaimed that there are rhythms in the woods that need to take their course, but officials swayed to the demands of tourists, and so those rhythms were ignored and sequestered. One of the major rhythms we ignored is the way fires are a part of the natural cycles of the forest. Ever since European settlers first ventured into Yosemite, we've tried our best to put out any fires that were started in the forest. Fire was seen as unequivocally bad and unwanted. And it wasn't until 1970 that we realized the lack of forest fires were slowly destroying Yosemite. Without naturally started fires, the old branches, leaves and pine needles thickly cover and consume the floor of the forest. When it's covered, seeds from the trees have a harder time reaching the soil and becoming new trees. Fire helps control insect populations that damage trees and plants. And even the larger animal ecosystems benefit from these fires. It's been found that there are more and better food options for deer after a fire, and bird populations increase. But humans don't want them. So since 1970, they have been slowly reintroducing controlled burns back into Yosemite, but we're still trying to undo the damage that had built up. Even though we know it is healthy for the land, we balk at having times when the park is unavailable to visitors and demand free access to every view and every trail. We balk at the smoky valleys and charred trees. We believe we are entitled to Yosemite. So even with the education and long-term consequences, we continue to push back against controlled burns. And here's what we have learned in Yosemite when we allow our greed and desires to consume the rhythms of nature. Eventually, whether we want it to or not, the land burns. Instead of being containable, it burns wild and out of control. The years of denying the land what it needed, the years of prioritizing our needs and greed over the needs of the rest of our ecosystem creates fires so large and fast spreading that it takes weeks to contain, sacrificing homes and lives in the process. And that is what it feels like right now. Our greed has gone unchecked, unregulated, unquestioned, and our land is burning, wild and out of control. People are dying. Like the rich man in the parable, we have more than we need. We have more than we will ever need. When will it be enough?